Good morning and welcome to worship on this festival day, the day we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that was not just one singular event marking the beginning of the New Testament church. It is also our assurance that God will continue to pour out his Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives to comfort and counsel and guide us. So may God bless us as we seek that comfort today, looking at the Holy Spirit's work among his church for 2,000 years and will continue. I just want to highlight a few things in the service folder for you. First, on page 6, there is a different song of praise, and we will sing that the way that we do the Psalms. The choir will introduce the refrain and sing the verses, and we will join in the refrains. Then we will do the same with the Psalm on page 8, only we will sing the verses in bold print. And then if you are a theme and parts person and you are lost in the sermon without them, if you look at page 11, Pastor Stray is not with us in body this morning. He is not feeling well. He's certainly with us in spirit. And so I'm going to take the sermon today, and the theme is going to be, what's the counselor really going to do? So if you would like to write that in, now would be the time to do that. What's the counselor really going to do? First part is, he's going to testify to us. Part 2, he's going to testify through us. So if you enjoy the theme and parts, please jot those down. We begin worship by focusing on the Holy Spirit's work among us, worshiping God by singing together hymn 184. Let us worship the Lord.
please stand? Our worship continues on page 4 with the greeting and dialogue for Pentecost. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We could never know anything about Christ, believe in Him, or have Him for our Lord, unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel.
The one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit has His own congregation in the world, which is the mother that conceives and bears every Christian through God's Word. Through the Word, He reveals and preaches, He illumines and enkindles hearts, so that they understand, accept, cling to, and persevere in the Word.
The Spirit Himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. Now that we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs to Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory.
I believe that there is upon earth a little holy group and congregation of pure saints, under one head, Christ. This group is called together by the Holy Spirit in one faith, one mind and understanding, with many different gifts. I am also a part and member of this same group, a sharer and joint owner of all the goods it possesses. In this Christian church, we have forgiveness of sin, which is wrought through the holy sacraments and absolution and through all kinds of comforting promises from the entire gospel. God's grace is secured through Christ, and sanctification is wrought by the Holy Spirit through God's word in the unity of the Christian church. We have already received creation. Redemption is also finished. But the Holy Spirit carries on His work without ceasing to the last day. For that purpose, He has appointed a congregation upon earth by which He speaks and does everything. For He has not yet brought together all His Christian church or granted all forgiveness. Therefore, we believe in Him who daily brings us into the fellowship of this Christian church through the Word. We could never grasp the knowledge of the Father's grace and favor except through the Lord Christ. Jesus is a mirror of the heavenly heart, outside of whom we see nothing but an angry and terrible judge. But we also could not know anything about Christ unless it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, that in a true and living faith we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our lessons this morning focus on communication, God communicating with his people communicating with one another, God's people abusing that gift, God coming to forgive his people, reclaiming the gift of language to share the good news of Jesus with the world. The first lesson is recorded in Genesis chapter 11. Here we see how people abused God's gift of language. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 2. We saw the Lord's judgment in the first lesson. Here we see that his heart is still for the people that he has created, as at this time he sent the Holy Spirit to every nation, to every language, to all people, to undo the curse of sin. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting in. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. John, chapter 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the choir anthem.
Oh,
May the comfort, peace, and encouragement of the Holy Spirit be yours this morning. Amen. So your neighbor, he gets himself into a little bit of trouble because he escalates the neighborhood feud maybe a little farther than he should have. And he finds himself facing some potential legal trouble. Or you have a son or daughter who's in high school, or you've been praying for your grandson, your granddaughter who's in high school right now because high school is tough. And it's towards the end of the school year and classes are getting hard and tests are getting more difficult. It's getting more and more difficult to get along with the other kids at school. A junior this year, a senior next year, and college is looming. Finding a job is starting to create some stress. Or, in this July, you send a little camper up to Tree of Life, and the little guy gets sick. Some of them actually get sick, but usually they get homesick, right? They get sick of camp. Sick of camp food, sick of camp songs, sick of camp games, sick of other campers. And in all these situations, what are you going to do? Typically, you find a counselor. And right away, your neighbor's going to go, what, legal counsel? A counselor? What's a lawyer really going to do for me? You know, this is such a small potatoes case. A lawyer is just going to complicate things, goof things up. He's going to lose it for me in the end, and then I'll have legal fees on top of it. What's a counselor really going to do for me? And I'm not going to knock guidance counselors, but really, what's a guidance counselor supposed to do? Not going to change the other kids at school. Not necessarily going to motivate you to study any harder. What if they pick the wrong school? What if they tell you to get a job and you should have gone to school? What's a counselor really going to do for your child, for your grandchild? And really, the camp counselor? In your little camper's mind, what's the counselor really going to do? Hey, go to your activity. Hey, it's time to eat. Hey, come follow me. And the kid doesn't even think the counselor likes him. What's a counselor really going to do? What's a counselor really supposed to do for you and for me? What kind of counselor could Jesus possibly send to us? And what's that counselor really supposed to do that's really going to help us? Here's the kind of counselor Jesus promises. When the counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. When's the counselor going to come? What's the counselor going to say, and how is that going to help? This counselor is going to come whenever Jesus sees fit to send him. And that counselor is going to direct people back to the words of Jesus. And that counselor is going to give encouragement and hope and counsel through the words of Jesus. Isn't that what happened on the day of Pentecost? What were these guys supposed to do? Their hearts were a little happier after the ascension, but there was a big job ahead of them. Still dealing, struggling with some of the sin from their ministry. Now, what is a counselor really going to do? Luke told us in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Jesus sent the counselor, and the counselor testified to them. It wasn't a brand new message.
It wasn't a different message. He testified to them about Jesus and who he was and what he did. And then the Holy Spirit testified through them. Peter stood up and gave a great sermon. And it wasn't based on something new. It wasn't based on something Peter had figured out. He gave them the word of God. In this case, it's from the prophet Joel. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And you can make an argument, I suppose. Okay, that was a different day, Pastor. That was 2,000 years ago on a special day, a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose. What does that have to do with us today? And how is the counselor going to come and help us? And I think you can make a good argument. Because unless I miss something, I haven't seen the tongues of fire in our house of worship. I haven't heard the sound of a rushing wind. I've heard a little bit of German from time to time, some Hebrew and some Greek, but not this same outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What does this promise have to mean to us now that God has established the church? The disciples did their job. God testified to them. They testified to the world. This is where we benefit from the word picture in this word counselor. Jesus promised to send a counselor. Somebody who is going to seek you out when you're not necessarily looking for him. And he's going to testify you. When you're looking everywhere for answers, he's going to testify to you through the word of God. He's going to take you back to Jesus. And the way he does that, he goes and finds you, and he puts a big, powerful, yet comforting arm around you. And he comforts you. And he encourages you. And he teaches you what Jesus has done for you. He testifies to you through the word of God. And unlike all the other counselors out there, he's never going to be too busy to come and counsel you. He's never going to not understand where you're coming from. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to lose. He is always going to comfort and encourage. And here's just a few ways that I thought it might happen. Here's the first setting, the first scene. And you're feeling terrible. You're feeling awful because you've realized how selfish you've been and how you've been dealing with sin and guilt and the struggles in your life. And the Holy Spirit has finally sought you out, and he's beginning to comfort you by making you realize these choices are terrible. And the way that you've been getting angry and lashing out at other people, not the way to do it, not the way to handle it. The way that you've been trying to bury it deep down inside as if you're strong enough to handle that on your own is not working anymore. And the counselor comes to you, puts a big, strong, yet comforting arm around you, and says, yeah, you've been doing some sinning. You have some guilt to deal with, but you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And that's the only news that can help. That's the only testimony that can change anything. That's the only thing that's going to make you feel better about yourself, about your relationship with God, and about your future. God promises to send the Holy Spirit to testify to you about Jesus, to take you back to the Word of God and show you what Jesus, your Savior, has done, to take care of all of your sin, to take care of all of your shame, to take care of all of your failures, including all the ways you've tried to deal with guilt and all the people you've hurt along the way. The Holy Spirit comforts you with the good news of Jesus. Another situation that I thought of is you've been dealing with grief for a long time because you lost a loved one. And the Holy Spirit has come to you, sought you out because you weren't necessarily looking for him. And he puts a big comforting arm around you. And he makes you realize that you have not been grieving in the right way. He doesn't come and start railing on you for grieving or being sad or for crying or for struggling. But he makes you realize you've been grieving like you have no hope. You've been grieving like you do not trust in Jesus' promises at all. As if God has never sent the counselor to talk to you through his word. And he gets you to see that getting angry isn't helping. And that secluding yourself from everyone and everything isn't helping. For beating your head against the wall is not making anything better. And the Holy Spirit comes and testifies to you through the word of God. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And you know you should feel better. And you know you should be comforted. And you know you should have a stronger faith. You know that this should encourage you, but it doesn't. And so you call out to the comforter. And the comforter comes back to you again. And puts that big, strong, encouraging arm around you. And says, yeah, you're not trusting. You're not grieving like I want you to. And takes you right back to the same testimony about Jesus through the word of God. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. And finally, you are comforted because the comforter, the counselor, has taken you to the word of God and has showed you it's not up to you to make yourself feel better. It's not up to you to encourage and comfort yourself. It's not up to you to strengthen your own faith. The counselor testifies to you that he is going to do that for you through the word of God by showing you how Jesus also died for your sin of not grieving in the right way, of grieving like you have no hope, of grieving like you don't have a counselor. And he comforts you. And he encourages you, and he strengthens your faith, and he builds up your confidence. Here's one more. You're having a garage sale. We had one at our house. A lot of interesting people stopped by. And this one lady came up, and she's perusing our stuff. And I asked her if she's looking for anything in particular, and I said, we have a lot of baby stuff. And she just kind of looks down at her own self. And she said, well, I'm kind of past that stage. And besides, do you know that it costs over $1 million to raise a child these days? Or maybe you're chatting with somebody at Target, or you're overhearing a conversation in the line, and people are saying, did you hear about the explosion? Did you hear about the stabbing? Did you hear about what the little brother did to the little sister? Or maybe you're just making small talk with somebody, and did you hear about the latest attacks on our values and on our morals? Did you hear about the latest group to attack our Christian faith? And it's easy to get the doom and gloom syndrome, and you realize, how could anybody ever bring a child into this world? How are we ever going to make it one more generation as a country? Are my kids going to be okay? Are my grandkids going to be okay? How is any of this going to work out? And then Jesus promises to send you the comforter, the counselor. And he's going to seek you out because in that moment, you're not looking for him. You're not listening to Jesus. And he's going to come and seek you out and remind you, your attitude is not okay. You are not trusting right now. You are not having confidence right now. You are not listening to Jesus. And he's going to testify to you again the words of Jesus. Do not worry about your life. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Do not worry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And he's going to remind you that the one who sacrificed his son for you, is still the same God who is looking out for you, watching over you, providing for you. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be there for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, regardless of what's going on TV or in the world, or even the weakness and doubts in their own hearts, regardless of who is attacking Jesus. It's going to be okay. And the counselor reminds you that you are forgiven for your sins of worry and doubt and hopelessness. You know, the day of Pentecost may have come 2,000 years ago, and it came in a specific way, and it came for a specific purpose. But that doesn't mean that God is done counseling us now. He is going to continue to testify to us and also through us. Because just think of some of the people in your life. And they are not much different from you. They have some of the same struggles. Maybe they have different struggles. They have some of the same worries. They have some of the same needs. They have guilty consciences. They have crushed hearts. They have ruined lives. They have difficult lives. But the counselor has testified to you. And the counselor also says, I'm going to testify through you. And I suppose you can make an argument, you can make a case, well, Pastor, don't we have a church to do that? Don't we have three pastors on staff? One to shore up our people internally, one to take the gospel out, one to make sure that we are emboldened and comforted through worship? And I would say, yes. And you could say, don't we have a national church body whose job it is to go and testify to the good news of Jesus? And again, I would say yes. But the Holy Spirit hasn't just testified to me. The counselor hasn't just counseled me or our church body. He has also counseled you. And he wants you to testify through that same message that he has shared with you. Jesus said, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of my Father speaking through you. And the counselor has also promised you and encouraged you, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Because, yeah, I can do it, but not in the same way you can. Peter and Paul can do it, and they did do it on the day of Pentecost, and Paul in his ministry, but not to the same people that you can. Because God has given you a gift, something better than a flame on your head, the power to do miracles, the power to speak in other languages. He has given you the gift to counsel and testify the way that the counselor has testified to you. He has given you the same word of God that he has given me. And you can talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ in the way that I can't. You can counsel and comfort in ways that I can't, because you know each other's struggles. You know people that I don't, that you can testify to, not in the way that Peter would, not by standing up in the middle of the market and telling people about Jesus, not by writing your own witnessing to Jesus 101, or by perfectly quoting Scripture. But you can testify through the testimony that God has given you. Here's how Jesus has comforted me. Here's how Jesus saw me through. Here's how Jesus calms my guilty conscience. Here's what Jesus said about my grandparents who have died. They're in heaven now. So what's the promised counselor really going to do? Something sort of like legal counselor might. Something kind of like a guidance counselor. Something maybe like a camp counselor. But better. Because he is God Almighty. And he promises to testify to you through the word of God, and then he promises to testify through you. So may Jesus bless you with the comfort that comes only through the counselor, as he continues to comfort your hearts through the word of God, and uses you to bring that same comfort to more and more people. To God alone be the glory for his Pentecost promises today
and always. Amen. Please stand. Let us at this time witness and also counsel and comfort one another with these words from Luther's explanation of the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Please be seated as we worship our God with our offerings this morning. In our prayer of the church this morning, we will again remember Ruth Manti, who is hoping to resume chemotherapy, and also Mary Radmanich, who has recently resumed chemotherapy. We'll ask God to bless those treatments in a way that will further His kingdom and be the best for them. And we also have the opportunity to rejoice as a church body, as God in a very small way has made good on His Pentecost promise and has graduated another class from Martin Luther College. Another round of teachers, staff, ministers, and world missionaries who are going to go out with the Word of God. We'll ask God to bless their ministries on our behalf. Please stand for the prayer of the church. Holy Spirit of God, we worship and glorify You as the Lord and giver of all spiritual life. By our own thinking and choosing, we would still be lost in our sins, wandering in spiritual darkness toward eternal death. Only by your gift of faith do we now confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Only by your enlightenment do we know the loving heart of our Father in heaven and his promise of eternal life in Christ. With the Father and the Son, you are one God, one Lord. We thank you for fulfilling the word which you gave by the prophets and the promise spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. You came on the day of Pentecost to guide and comfort the apostles, to lead them into all truth, and to reveal your plan to save us. Extend your church throughout the world by the words we speak and the messengers we send. We ask that you continue to preserve us in this one true faith by the means you have chosen, our Savior's gospel in word and sacrament. Enable us to present ourselves with all our abilities as thank offerings to him who sacrificed himself for us. We also thank you for promising to send your counselor in time of need. We ask that you would send Ruth and Mary a deep measure of your Holy Spirit, that he might put his arm around them and comfort them, guide them, and encourage them. In lonely weekdays, remind them that you are strong for them, and that in the end, we will stand upon the earth with you on the day that you come back to take us all to be with you in heaven. Please comfort and guide and counsel their family and friends. Finally, dear Holy Spirit, sanctify us in body, mind, and spirit to glorify our Father in heaven and to serve our neighbor here on earth with good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we continue by making our preparations to receive the sacrament with the preface on page 12 in the worship booklet. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day kept his promise and poured out the Holy Spirit to empower his church to proclaim the gospel in all the world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
blood of your Lord, your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sins. May this, your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith to life everlasting with God. Be at peace with him. Your sins are forgiven.
This is the true body of our Lord.
at peace with him. Your sins are forgiven.
Worship continues with the Song of Simeon on page 16 in your service folder. Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for the closing hymn. Good morning again to everyone. A special welcome to guests, perhaps some family, who is worshiping here today. It's great to see you. May the peace of the counselor be with you always, and may he give you a good week as you live for your God ahead. I have just a couple very brief announcements. First, Pastor Stray obviously is not here, so his Bible study will not meet. You can stay in here for Pastor Waterstrat's course, or you could flood Mr. Lervold's course to go study some Lutheran hymnody over in the Luther room. So please take advantage of the opportunity for Bible study that still remains. Mr. Walker is in the very back of the church lobby to let you know how you can help with Vacation Bible School this year. Many different ways to help, some that don't even involve children at all. So please see Mr. Walker in the back of the lobby if you are interested in that. And then finally, a thank you both to Mrs. Boschek and to Mrs. Schmidt, who found that their roles this morning were changing. They found out last night that one would be directing the choir, one would be accompanying the choir and the psalm. God has blessed us with talented people, so perhaps give them a thank you this morning. God be with you in the week ahead. Please feel free to visit before you leave.